The story of Manhattan begins with a mystery and a wondrous product of memory, scholarship, and care. The mystery is what the island was called by the people who lived there before the Europeans arrived. No one knows what name to use because the native world as it was experienced on the island was scattered or destroyed, and the choices we have come from incomplete European documents. But maybe that is just right. The story of a legendary place should begin with questions we can't quite answer. And yet, name aside, there is so much that has been preserved by the descendants of those who lived on the island and discovered by generations of scholars, that we can very fully describe the land when it was the home to its original inhabitants, people who called themselves the Munsee or perhaps the Lenape. Before the arrival of the Europeans, people living along the coast from what is now Canada to the Carolinas spoke similar languages. But that is like saying a lot of people in the world speak languages linked to Latin, everything from Italian and French to Catalan and Romanian. That tells you something, but not enough to separate one group from another. The people who lived on what is now Manhattan spoke a version of this shared language family that came to be called Munsee. That means people from Minisink, a small island on what is now the Delaware River. Minisink itself, like Munsee, and probably no one knows for sure Manhattan, seemed to refer to islands. The people who lived on, near, or between certain islands had close family relations and spoke a common language, saw themselves as a distinct group. They may have used the word Nanapa, man, to define their men as special, distinctive. Related groups who lived in what are now parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania used a similar term for themselves, Lenape. Island people, real men, that is as much as we know. Before we talk about the Munsee and how they knew and used the island, let's explore on our own to get a sense of the island's many environments. If we start from where the Brooklyn Bridge now lands in Manhattan and go back in time before the Europeans arrived, we would be on relatively flat land with pine and tall oak trees to shade us. Pause a moment, and a couple of squirrels race ahead up one trunk. Chipmunks scamper about. If we lean down and watch carefully, we'd soon see mice, voles, and shrews. If we are lucky and quiet, we'd catch sight of a brown rabbit with a white patch on its behind, standing stock still and eyeing us. Shadows would keep dancing across us, for in the sky are so many birds, red-winged blackbirds and red-tailed hawks, black crows, gray passenger pigeons. An eagle might swoop by overhead. As we turn south, the land rises slightly into low hills. There are fewer pines and large chestnut trees. We are close enough to the shore that turtles and salamanders keep us company. Not only are the skies filled with birds, their songs are everywhere. Sparrows, blue jays and robins calling to one another. Nearer to the tip of the island, we leave the forest and come to the edge of a salt marsh. We are in flat, muddy land where grasses grow right up to the edge of the water. Crossing the marsh, we are back in the pines until we reach the very end of the island. Now we have our pick of eel, fish, and shellfish. We might even sight a whale or porpoise.